I just want to ask you the question here. Who loves party games? Yeah, we get a few people around here who love party games. I got to tell you, I'm the sort of person, I'm not a huge fan of party games. I did have a party last week, and thankfully there was the prospects of a couple, but they didn't eventuate, so that was good. But I remember when I went to parties, you know, we'd play games like the old, good old pass the parcel or pin the tail on the donkey, that sort of thing. We won't go into last week where apparently my face was put on the donkey and it became pin the tail on the shonky. Thank you, Tim. I think probably one of my most successful games was the good old musical chairs, okay? That I don't know if it was just the music or what it was, but it was a strategic sort of game because all you needed to do was you needed to find out who was the weakest link and you needed to place yourself near them. And when that moment came where the music stopped, you just give them the good old shoulder out the way and you'd take the chair, all right? It was a great game to play. But there was one game that I always thought, this looks like such a simple game. It should be so easy because this is what it was. This is as simple as this. You'd hold on to a broomstick and you'd look up at the broomstick and you'd circle around for about 20 seconds. And then once that time was up, you'd put the broom down and you'd run to a point and whoever could get to that point first was the winner of the game. It really, really sounds quite simple, doesn't it? All right. All you got to do is find a point and run to it. But sometimes things that look simple maybe aren't so simple. Now, I have a feeling that maybe there may be one or two people here who may have never seen this game before. So I think it's time for us to experience it. So look, and the good news is, thank you, Shaz. The good news is there is a prize for this game, okay? So I always had difficulty with this game, but I'm sure there's somebody out there who can show us how to do this game well. And there is a prize. It's this chocolate bar here. So I know the kids got chocolate bars before. Now don't look at the size of this bar and think that that's an indication of the length of today's message, okay? It's not, okay? And the good news is it's broken too, which means all the calories have leaked out. All right, so there we go. We have that one there. So now I need one volunteer to come over here. Sam, oh, we got a few? Okay, it's all right. Sam's coming up. Okay, Sam, here you go.
I was going to have to.
All right, so Sam, I want you to stand about here, okay? And what we're going to do is I want you to lift that broom nice and high in the sky, and we're going to count down. That's good. We're going to count down from 20. You're going to circle around as fast as you can. Then you're going to drop that broom, and you're going to head over to the chocolate bar. Okay, so here we go. Sam, start circling. 20, 19, 18, 17, faster, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, good move, Rita. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and go. Well, he's doing all right, he's done well. Oh, yeah, Sam, what's wrong? You can go back to your chair, mate. He doesn't want the chocolate bar. Yeah, no, your chair's over that way, mate, it's not up there. Sometimes things look so simple, but in fact, they are so difficult. And I think that this is what Paul was trying to say to us when he wrote these words. He's saying, you know what? I know the law. I know what it is. I know what I'm meant to do. It's really, really simple. I want to be in relationship with God. That's what I want above all else. I want to be in relationship with God. And I make this choice to do the things that I'm meant to do, but somewhere along the line, it almost seems like the enemy goes and puts this broomstick in my hand and has me doing this. And then all of a sudden, it's like instead of going in the direction that I'm meant to go in, I end up going in all the other directions that I know I'm not meant to go. And then the result of that is I feel so disappointed in myself. In fact, I start to hate on myself. And I do this all the time. And instead of going in the direction I want to go, I end up going in all these other directions. And I just keep on asking myself, am I ever going to get there? And that's why I've decided as to pay homage to the school holidays today and call this message, Are We There Yet? Because I think that this is a question we ask ourselves all the time. We make this decision, this is where I want to go. But you know what? It's like the enemy just confuses me and I get disorientated and I start spinning around in circles. And the next thing, I completely miss the mark. And I get frustrated by things that are that look easy, but are difficult, end up being difficult. Now, at this point, I need to make a confession to you. I am the world's worst handyman, okay? This is fact, all right? If there is something in your house that needs fixing, let me tell you this right now. Do not call me, because it will probably wind up worse than what it was before. I am the world's worst handyman. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your agreement in that. Okay. Now I kind of thought that my wife knew this. All right, I can tell you about this because she's not here today. But there was a time a few years ago, we had this house and it had like the classic 1970s bathroom. Okay. Classic 90s. And Louise looked at it one day and she said, I'd really like to change these tiles because, you know, like they were those classic 1970s weird little tiles and they were like off-white with little bits of chocolate brown specks through them. All right, they were classic 1970s. And Louise looks at it and she says, yeah, look, I'd really love to see this fixed, this area here. And I said to her, yeah, well, look, I agree. I think it needs to be done. So we might need to save up some money and get a tiler to come in and do this job. And then she looks at me and I think she'd lost complete grip of her faculties, because she looks at me and she says, oh, we could do it. It wouldn't be that hard, would it? I mean, all we've got to do is clear out the tiles that are here, clean it up, and lay down some new tiles. It's very simple, isn't it? Very simple job. And she says, it'd be simple, wouldn't it? And I looked at her and I said, well, I don't know many things about tiling, but here's the two things that I do know about tiling. Number one, I've never laid a tile in my life. And the second thing I know about tiling is that a tiler actually does a 3-year apprenticeship before they are allowed to lay a tile unsupervised. So I'm going to guess that it's not as simple as it looks. Of course, we go in there and we start ripping up tiles, clean it up and laying down tiles, and I'm covered in head to toe from grout, and it's just disgusting. But we finally get the job done. A few months later, Louise notices other things around the house that need to be done. And I say, you know what, this time we will get a professional in. So let's call in a builder to take a look at what needs to be done. So we have this guy come in and he starts to assess what needs to be done around the house. And then he comes in and he takes a look at our bathroom. And he says, you probably want these tiles redone too, don't you? I am the world's worst handyman. And I just get so frustrated when I look at something that looks to be so simple, but yet it just seems to be so hard once you get started. And I really believe that this is what Paul was facing when he spoke about this. But the other idea is that this is not a new idea of the enemy. This has been a tactic of the enemy right from the very beginning of time. The enemy tries to grab something that God makes for us nice and simple, and tries to get us to spin around with our broomstick and tries to get us totally disorientated so we take our eyes off who he is and we start to look at everything else around us. And if we look in the Word of God and we look right back into the book of Genesis chapter 2, And this is God is talking to Adam, and he's Adam is in the Garden of Eden. And what God is saying, this is the story here, Adam. Okay, this is all yours to use. All the fruit trees you see in here, you can eat from all these trees except for this one, and it's the one that I've called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Any other tree in this garden, you can eat from except for that one tree. Okay, have you got it? Do you understand? And so Adam says, yep, I've got this, God. So I can eat from any tree in here except for that one tree. And God's like, yeah, this is how we stay in relationship, because I've created you and I've created you to be in relationship with me. And that's what I want above everything else, is I want to be in relationship with you. And so then if we go to the very next chapter of that same book in the Bible, Chapter 3, and by this time, Eve's come onto the scene as well. And Eve meets the serpent. And we know, we know from reading the Word of God that this serpent is actually the enemy. This serpent is the devil. This serpent is Satan. And so this serpent, it says to Eve, did God really say that you can't eat the fruit from the trees in this garden? And then Eve says, no, that's not the case. God just said we can't eat the fruit from this one particular tree, this tree that's in the center of the garden. And all of a sudden, it's like the enemy sticks that broom in Eve's hands, in Adam's hands, and the next thing you know, they're going around in circles and around in circles. This instruction from God that was just so simple. This is what I want you to do. This is what you need to do to be in right relationship with me. You can have anything in this garden except from this one tree. And then all of a sudden, the enemy starts to spin them around and get them completely disorientated until this simple instruction becomes something that becomes so difficult, and they both take of the fruit of that tree. And all of a sudden, the relationship with God is there's separation with that relationship with God. So God, He still loves His people. He still wants to have right relationship with His people. So then He comes back with another idea. And if we go to Exodus, the next book in the Bible, chapter 20, I'm not going to read through the whole chapter here. It lists out all of the Ten Commandments. And what God says here is, look, I still want my people. I love you. I still want my people to be in right relationship with me. So here it is. I've made it really, really simple for you. I've given you 10 rules to live by, all right? And basically, the first rule within the Ten Commandments was this, to love the Lord your God and to have no other God above the Lord your God. And all the other commandments after that were really about staying in right relationship with God and right relationship with others. So God says, here is the law. I'm giving you the law. Do you understand this, people of Israel? Do you understand if you do this, you can be in right relationship with me? It's really, really simple. Just stick to this and you're in right relationship with me. And the people of Israel are going, yeah, sure. We understand this, God. We totally understand it. This is what we've got to do. We can do this. We've got this. No worries. And then we just go along a few more chapters to Exodus chapter 32. And at this point, Moses had gone back up the mountain to spend time with God. And God was giving Moses the Ten Commandments then actually on the stone tablets, as well as this covenant between God and the people of Israel, which was basically just saying, this is what I want. I want to be in relationship with you. I want you to know who I am. I want you to acknowledge who I am and be in relationship with me, is what God was saying to Moses and the Israelite people. And whilst Moses was up on the mountain doing this, and you can read through this whole chapter later on, but whilst Moses was up on the mountain getting these instructions from God, the people of Israel were down the bottom of the mountain creating their own God, creating another god. That it was like, hey, I've got this brilliant idea. We haven't seen Moses for a bit, and like, I've got this brilliant idea, and this is what we're going to do, and we're going to create this god, and we're going to start worshiping this god. And all of a sudden, they get confused, they get disorientated, and this simple instruction that God had given them, suddenly they're just confused, and they don't know which way to go, and they're disorientated, and then they start doing the wrong thing. And at that point, Moses comes down from the mountain with these commandments of God, from God, and with this covenant from God. And when he sees that the people have already broken what God had asked for them to do, this simple instruction, he gets those tablets and he just smashes them on the ground, because he knew that again, the people were not going to be in right relationship with the God who loved them. But the good news is, God didn't leave it there. God made it. I think God went, you know what? Whilst I leave it up to you to do stuff to become in right relationship with me, it's just not going to happen. So I've got a better idea. I'm going to do what needs to be done to be in right relationship with my people, because I love my people and I want to see the best thing for my people. So I'm going to make a way. I'm going to make a way so that my people can be in right relationship with me. And all they have to do is say, yes, Lord, I want to be in right relationship with you. And there is nothing else that needs to be done. There is no more commandments there's no more trees. There's none of this stuff. There's just one thing that you need to do, and that is to say, yes, Lord, I want to be in right relationship with you. And then God, in the Word of God, he says this, and this is one of the most famous verses in all of the Bible, and it's John 3:16, and I've also added the 17th verse there as well. And it says this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him won't perish but will have eternal life. God didn't send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. You see, now we have a way. We have this way. There's not these conditions anymore. It's just, you know what? This is what I want. I want my people to be in right relationship with me, and I've made the way. So now when the enemy comes to us and tries to throw that broomstick in our hand and tries to disorientate us, God says, you know what? You're my people. You're in relationship with me. Let me take that broomstick out of your hand and let me smash it over my knee so it never ever has to be the thing that you focus on anymore. I don't want you focusing on all that other stuff. I want you to focus on me, because in me there is true life. Amen. That's good. And so whenever we get in that position, you know, where we feel like we're just spinning around, you know, we make this decision, you know what, I want to be the best godly parent I could ever be, and this is what I aim to do, and then all of a sudden, hits just start coming, and it's like the enemy puts that broomstick in your hand, and he's got you doing this, and he's got you doing this, and you're saying, you know, this is what I want to do, but this is what I end up doing, and I just feel so terrible. I'm just hating on myself. I wish I was a better person, but I'm nothing. I'm useless. I'm hopeless. And God says, you know what? I want to take that broomstick out of your hand. Let me smash that broomstick, because that doesn't belong in your hands. The enemy put that there, and I don't want you looking at that. I want you looking at me, because we are in right relationship, because I made the way. Maybe it's an addiction of any sort. And you make a decision, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to overcome this thing. Today, I choose to be a different person. And you start walking in that. But all of a sudden, you start to spin around again because the enemy wants to place that broomstick in your hand and wants to take your focus off of God and wants you to look at all the other things. And all of a sudden, you find that you're not where you thought you were going to be. And again, you start to hate on yourself. And God says, let me take that broomstick out of your hand. Let me break it and throw it away because you are not, that's not who you are. That's not who I created you to be. Okay, you're not under control of that. You are actually in right relationship with me. And yeah, you may sometimes wander off in the wrong direction, but I want to tell you this, you're never going to wander so far that I can't find you again. Maybe for you, you've been spinning around in circles for so long, spinning and spinning and spinning around in circles for so long that you've got to the point where you're saying, you know what, I don't even know if I believe in God. Well, I want to say to you today, you know what? You may not believe in God, but God believes in you. And God wants to take that broomstick out of your hand so you don't have to spin around in circles anymore so that you can be restored into right relationship with Him. I think Paul really understood this. I love the way that this, and thank you, Monty, again for reading this. I find this is one of the most confusing Bible readings to read through, depending on what version you use. I tried to be kind. But this is what Paul says. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I think we can all agree with that. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus can and does. God made the way through Jesus so that we don't have to be a people who take our focus off of Him and put our focus on everything else. We can focus on who He is and we can be in right relationship with Him. We may feel that our lives are spinning completely out of control. But God keeps on saying, let me take that broomstick off of you. You don't need to live like this anymore because I have made the way through Jesus. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up here. And I'm going to do something maybe a bit strange. Why not? Here's another one. And I'm going to put these broomsticks down here. Maybe you feel like your life consists of running around in circles. Maybe you believe that in your life you've made this decision. You know what? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to be the best person. I'm just going to be everything that I could possibly be. And every time you make that decision, you find yourself spinning out of control and find yourself somewhere that you didn't want to be. And you end up thinking to yourself, are we there yet? Am I ever going to make it? I don't know that I'm ever going to make it on this journey because every time I start out with good intentions, I end up going down the path of bad intentions. If that's where you find yourself today, I've put these broomsticks out here, and this place of prayer is going to be open. Maybe what you need to do is just to grab a hold of this broomstick and then place it on the altar. And say, you know what, God, I'm putting this in your hands because I can't live like that anymore. I'm tired of my life spinning out of control. I'm tired of trying to of hating on myself because I get it wrong all the time. And I want to be in right relationship with you. So this place of prayer will be open. You may just want to kneel here. You may want to just hold on to one of these and symbolically let it go onto the altar of God. I believe we're going to sing these amazing words of amazing grace. And this song was written by a guy whose life was completely spun out of control from who God was. And he was in the slave trade, and he was just spinning out of control. And he would have been at that point where he was going, you know what? No, how could God love me? Because I hate me. So how could anyone else ever love me? Handed it over to God. And these were the words that came from that man. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.